This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The use of military force in Syria is, at least for now, off the table. The president said as much in his speech last night. Wait and see are now the watchwords about Bashar al-Assad and his chemical weapons and whether or not he will actually give them up. But gathering those weapons and eventually destroying them might just be easier said than done. Philip Bleek worked on nonproliferation in the Pentagon. He teaches it. Now, Mr. Bleek, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
How's this going to work then? We're going to go in and get these chemical weapons and take care of them?
The logistics of this are extraordinarily challenging. So I think this is something that President Obama should pursue to see where it goes. But it's a little bit hard, actually, from my position to see how the logistics of this even play out.
Do you imagine the people with the expertise in this, with the professional experience, that is the American Army and the Russian Army, do you imagine them working together on the ground in Syria?
Certainly one can imagine scenarios where the U.S. and the Russians collaborated. I should note that while one could imagine there being U.S. military personnel involved, a lot of the personnel that would do this would be contractors.
Do you imagine this being an expensive proposition?
Yes and no. I think it doesn't have to be as expensive as, for example, the effort to destroy U.S. and Russian munitions, and chemical weapons stocks, which was extraordinarily expensive. I think the U.S. is estimated to spend a little bit more than $30 billion in total on destroying its very large stockpile. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that expensive, but it's unlikely to be cheap.
Hazard a guess for me.
I would think it would be probably in total in the hundreds of millions of dollars, realistically. I have a hard time picturing it being much less than that. Hopefully it wouldn't be much more than that. That said, the possibility of destroying one of the largest active chemical weapons stockpiles in the world is worth a lot to us.
It strikes me that these things are reasonably cheap to produce, these kinds of weapons, and yet incredibly expensive to destroy.
I think that's right. I mean, we sometimes call chemical weapons the poor man's atomic bomb, and they are certainly far cheaper to produce and maintain than, for example, nuclear weapons, which are quite costly. But destroying them, in particular, destroying them in the way that we have in the United States, which has to meet certain health and environmental and other requirements, is quite costly.
And one assumes you'd want to be as careful and safe as possible over there, too.
Certainly, and you would also need to be treaty compliant. For example, the OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, which implements the Chemical Weapons Convention, prohibits you from crude destruction such as burning in open pits or dumping into the sea, which, believe it or not, was done a lot historically, including by the United States.
I was just going to say probably by us.
Yes.
How are we going to know that we've gotten them all?
We're not. Now.
Okay,
say
that again.
We are not going to know that we've gotten them all. And in fact, the Libyan case is a little bit of an analog to this. So Gaddafi had a modest chemical weapons stockpile, and he declared that as part of a process of opening up to the West. And it turns out that he held a little back, which we found after the fact, or some of his military commanders held a little back. That said, if you can destroy 95% or 99% or whatever it might be of the Syrian stockpile, that's worth a lot, even if there's a little that we don't initially find.
Hmm. Philip Bleek teaches nonproliferation at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. He worked professionally in that field at the Pentagon until not too long ago. Mr. Bleek, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.